I think a lot of times that we're, at least for me anyways, that I'm just rushing through this life sometimes. Busy. My days are full. Sometimes I'm unprepared. Sometimes I'm not prayed up. Sometimes I'm not ready for my day. Sometimes I'm not intentional in how I start off my day. Like I have an enemy that's trying to kill me, that's trying to steal from me, and that's trying to destroy me. The enemy's intentional. The enemy's prepared to rise up against us. The enemy, the Bible talks about the enemy. I mean, he's there. He's got a goal, and his plan is to try to destroy us. So if he's prepared to come at us, we have to be prepared to stand against it. There was points in my life, guys, where I was on the verge of one bad mistake that probably would have cost my life. And I think I've even shared it with my family, that in that moment, in that despair that I felt like it was just going to be one misstep, right? That I was towing that line so much that even if I just shifted a little bit, I felt like in that moment, it probably would have taken my life, that the enemy would have won that battle. But God's word reminds us. He reminds us that we need to stay aware of the schemes of the enemy. He reminds us who we are. He gives us instruction. He gives us correction. The Word of God gives us a map of how it is that we can walk our life and stay connected with God. So when the enemy rises up against us with suicide, or rises up against us with depression, or rises up against us with addiction, that we can stand strong, that we can stand fully armored in the armor of God, and we can go to battle against the enemy for who we are called to be, for our identity, right? Because the battle's already been won. I was talking to Pastor Chris about this. So Christ defeated the enemy. The battle's already won. So what do I battle? We'll get to that later. Man, that's a good part for me. I'm getting excited already, guys. Are you excited? Woo! Man, God is just so amazing. So as I started studying this, in this direction, as far as identity goes, I started to think about Job. And I started to think about whether or not that was a case of potential identity theft, right? Where the enemy was trying to convince him that he was something that he wasn't. As far as I know, in Job, or scripture says that he was a well-off man, right? It's several thousand herds of this and that, and well off financially, had a big home. Scripture says that he had this big household, and I think the scripture even says that he was probably the most well off in the East, right? And those that don't know, or you may be aware, but Satan went to God and basically said, hey, I can take care of this. You think Job is who he is? Let me take away his stuff. Let me bring him trials. Let me bring him struggles. And I guarantee you that he'll turn from you. And I started thinking about that. I'm like, man, like, where was Job's identity? Was Job's identity in his stuff? Was Job's identity in his livestock or his household or his family? I started thinking in my life, how often it was that I've allowed my identity to become the things that I have, or my identity become my family, or my true identity become how much money I have in the bank, and how I've allowed the enemy to use those things to try to manipulate me into a different person. But scripture says that Job stood strong, right? That he was a righteous man. Even whenever it seemed like he was losing everything. Everything that he loved, everything that was near and dear to him, that he stood strong in that moment. You know what? I never thought about it like this before, but in that moment, Job knew who he was. Job knew his identity. And he embraced that identity in God, and ultimately these things didn't end up destroying him, didn't put him in a spot where it tried to take his life. But what if Job's identity wasn't in God? What if he put his identity in those circumstances? I do sometimes, probably more often than I'd like to admit to you guys, that sometimes my bank account dictates who I am, or at least I allow it to, when it shouldn't. When there's trouble at home, or I've got to discipline my kids, or there's something that's going on in my family that Sometimes I allow that to impact me in a negative way. You guys have all heard this verse, I'm sure. It's a pretty popular one. John 10:10 says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." He's a thief. He's a roaring lion that preys on God's people, and he would love nothing more than to silence every one of our mouths. He would love nothing more to try to convince us that we're something that we're not, to keep us from bringing light into this world that God has basically commissioned us to do through Jesus Christ. Right? So it makes sense to me on why the enemy is trying to devour me. It makes sense to me on why he's preying on God's people. It makes sense to me because if he can conquer one of us, or he can conquer the body of Christ, which we know isn't going to happen, but he's going to continue to attempt to do that. So many stories in the Bible, so many stories of God's people are under attack. So many stories of situations that look like that they were at end. So many situations where it looked like their stories were over, and our miracle working God showed up and pulled them through it. Our miracle working God still, like in Daniel, shuts the mouths of the lions in the lion's den and gives you the ability to walk in the freedom that God has given you to walk in. We still serve a miracle working God. You know that, right? He's an amazing God. He's still tearing down strongholds. He's still doing the things that he did in the Old Testament. The prodigal son is one of those, right? That was reminded of. The story. I think that it helps us understand who we are. Because if we don't understand who we are, like I said earlier, we don't understand who God says we are, I think that we'll lose track of our purpose, God's will for our life. I think the main thing that the prodigal son highlights to us is that God loves you. No matter what it is that you've done, no matter what it is that you're going through, no matter what the enemy is trying to rise up against you in your mind, that he loves you. I bet the father, the prodigal son, knew that his son would never truly be able to walk the way that he needed to walk, that he would always make the mistakes that he was going to make. But despite that, his son is loved by his father, just as God still loves you. Whenever I first became a Christian, I gave my life to Christ, I thought I knew and understood God's love for me. God loves me. Like Pastor Jeff, God loves me. That's a big deal. I still don't think I got as high as you, Pastor Temple. Did you see that? Yeah. So I'm going to get into this next part real quick. Who is God? I think to know God, to know what God says about us, we must first know who he is. I think that story of the prodigal son, like I said, emphasizes God's love for us as well as our choice to receive it. Abba, Father, the Creator, is well aware of who you are. And he still desires a personal, intimate, intentional relationship with you. Kind of like that love situation, like I said, I knew it. But there was something deeper that happened whenever I continued to connect with God, that there was a revelation that came of that. A sense of security. God established me in his love. So who is God? I'll tell you what, you Google that question, you're going to get some answers. You guys are good to be here till 2, right? So I can go through all of these? Yeah? 12 o'clock? So I just pulled a couple of these, but let's talk about them real quick. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Who is God? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Faithful? Man, there's times where the enemy has rose up and against me that so much. Like, I was sitting there thinking about the back surgery that I went through. I went through a couple of them, but it was a span over 4 or 5 years that I went through this. And after my first surgery, I ended up having a second surgery, and it just completely destroyed me, or at least I thought. And I remember crying out to God every single day after that. My wife has seen some things in me that you guys probably wouldn't believe, but there's a lot that can happen to a man when he feels like he's being tortured. And getting to that breaking point in my life and crying out to God, like, why? Almost the enemy convincing me that it was God that had did this to me, that I began to believe. But I stayed true to it. I continued to pray to God. I continued to ask him to help me. 5 years went by. One night I was sitting in my chair and I was doing the same thing. I was groveling to God and I was crying. There was probably a little bit of, why are you doing this to me? And I heard the voice of God in that moment, and he comforted me. And the next day I woke up, everything that I had been through in that last 5 years was gone. I don't know why it took 5 years. I don't know why the things that we go through sometimes seem to take longer than they should. I don't have that answer for you. But according to this scripture right here, God is faithful. So if you're going through something right now, just remember that. It may be that you're 5 years into whatever it is that you're pushing through, but God is faithful. 1 John 1:5 says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness. None. Even in that moment when my back issues, and the enemy works this way, to try to convince me that it was God that was putting me through this because something I had done in my past, something that I had done that I was being punished for, and that this is what my consequence of my actions were, and I started to believe that, and I started to walk into that identity to the point where I started putting distance between me and this faithful God, this God full of light. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. 5 years felt slow, be honest with you. But God's thoughts aren't my thoughts. His ways aren't my ways. But I'll tell you what, I'm grateful that it only took five and not six. I'm grateful. Three things. As I was reading through Exodus 3, they really just drove this home for me on who God is. Exodus 3, 13 through 15. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. I am. That's who God is. He's everything. He's the creator of the universe. He's our protector. He's our wisdom. He's our knowledge. He's our healer. He's everything to us. Whenever I read that and I've heard that before, I am. I am. It just really puts me in a spot of humility. Just to think about the mighty hand of God, the I am, the hand of the mighty one. On my life, on your life, protecting you, walking you through the things that you're going through, battling with you through this for us to keep our identity. God doesn't need anything from us. Although sometimes I feel like I can help. But he's sovereign. He's all-knowing. He is in control. Once we understand who he is, simply speaking his name into existence holds enough weight. Man, can you see that? How amazing is that, that we serve a God that has that much authority, that has that much power, that has that much love and that much care for every single person in this auditorium this morning? This God is still a miracle-working God. I've heard, I don't even know, people say that he's not doing miracles today in the Holy Spirit. Are you serious? Come on. A little technical difficulties here, but we'll push through it. Yep. I just lost it. Look at that. In the middle of this, the enemy is trying to attack me. We ain't going to let him win, are we? So now that we've talked a little bit about who God is, let's talk a little bit about who we are in God. Galatians 4:7, the New King James says, "Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." How many people in here today are continuing to walk in bondage because of the attacks on the enemy, from the enemy, that has convinced us that we're still slaves in this world? I have, many times in my life, walked with my head held down because of that. John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God." Man, it's getting exciting. "To those who believe in his name." So you're no longer slaves. You're a son and daughter of the Most High. You're children of God. 2 Corinthians says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So you're a new creation. Romans 8:1-2 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh." So there's no condemnation. Are you guys getting the gist of this? 2 Corinthians 1 basically saying that you're established. "Now he who establishes you within Christ has anointed us in God. He has also sealed us and given us the Spirit and the heart as a guarantee." I don't know. I'm getting worked up. I might start running here in a minute. Hopefully you guys are okay with that. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand." I like this one. Ephesians 1:7, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." You're redeemed. There's not a single solitary thing that the enemy can rise up against you, that can bring you down, that can destroy you, that can steal from you, that can try to capture your identity. There's absolutely nothing in this world that can stand against the creator of the universe that has redeemed you by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are a victor. You are in victory. You are established. You are anointed. You are sealed. You're forgiven. What can the enemy bring against us? There's this Christian band that I like to listen to. Their name is Big Daddy Weave. I don't know what's going on with youth these days. He wrote that redemption is the truth I have to remind myself just about every day. The fight has already been won. Yet I too often live as if my self-effort is required to make up for past struggles and efforts, that I need to earn the grace that is already mine. I stopped to think about the prodigal son in that moment. Like, he's coming back. His father embraces him. He starts clothing him with all this stuff and bringing him back into the family and just showering him with love. I wonder if the prodigal son had to remind himself of the grace and mercy and the love that his father had for him. Right? I wonder if the enemy, I have no doubt the enemy rose up against him, just like the enemy continues to rise up against us without victory, to try to remind us who we are. But the Bible says that we are a new creation, that all things are passed away, right? So you're something new, that your past can't dictate who you are. Your past can't dictate your identity, your current circumstances, your mindsets. Like, every fiery dart of the enemy that comes against you can be shielded by the armor of God. And I promise you, you can stand in victory. Another little excerpt, I always pronounce that wrong. John Reinhart, a book called What God Thinks About You, brought scripture clarity to the truth of who we are in Jesus Christ. You are no longer darkness, but light, my son. Walk as children of light. You are the light of the world, a city set on a hill. I have called you, I have chosen you. You are now a saint, a servant, a steward, a soldier. You are a witness and a worker through Jesus. You are victorious. You have glorious future. You are a citizen of heaven. You are an ambassador of my son. You are a pretty big deal. We are a pretty big deal. The enemy might think that he has the upper hand on us. Man, he doesn't have a clue, does he? He's a liar. He's deceived in thinking that he has anything on us because, man, we've got a creator, a father, Abba, father, someone greater than us that is standing with us, a Holy Spirit inside of us that is waging something beautiful in the body of Christ. Knowing your enemy is important. Knowing who God is and who you are in God is going to be detrimental to how you walk in your identity in the body of Christ. So when those waves are raging against that cliff we call life, take heart. He has overcome the world, guys. The spiritual warfare that's taking place around us right now as we speak, that battle, as far as I'm concerned, has already been won. Our battle in protecting our identity, I believe, is staying connected to God, staying connected through prayer, staying connected through praises, staying connected through renewing our mind, opening up our Bible, having a dialogue with the Holy Spirit. This is where my battle lies. Because sometimes life gets busy. Sometimes I put things aside that I shouldn't put aside, and I make priorities that shouldn't be made. But there's hope, because this situation that I'm talking about doesn't have to be a permanent situation. We can change. We can repent from that. We can go to our Father and we can move on. I think our identity is a big deal, guys. I think the enemy continues to try to convince us of things, tries to tell us that we are something that we're not, tries to derail us a little bit. But I have confidence in my Father. Are you struggling with your identity today? Is the enemy trying to tell you that you're something that you're not? Is he trying to convince you that you're depressed, or trying to convince you that somehow your past has separated you from our Father, that there's no hope for you because you've made too many mistakes? You know the lies of the enemy. Maybe he's telling you you're not worth it. Maybe he's telling you that you're done on this earth. Maybe he's trying to convince you that you should take your own life. I know we had some people come down, and I think Chris is going to be coming up to play, but man, identity was a big deal for me. But I'll tell you what, in that new creation, you can walk in that new life. You can walk free of those chains and that bondage that the enemy continues to try to put on you. So I want to open up the altars one more time. Maybe you don't know who you are. Maybe you don't know who God is. Maybe you don't know who he says you are. Maybe you're struggling through that right now to establish what God has already established.